Today's a very good day because today we will be looking inside.
Wow.
Which, for those of you who get nervous and scared about this, it's totally fine. You're not going to do this all the time at all. But I just thought, like, there's so much going on and it's hard for you to see. So I printed up for you just the very first page of Tanya and another source material. So that you could see it, so that you can know it, so you could understand what I'm saying. Sometimes this just will actually help you understand. So if words actually make you feel more lost, this will help you to actually feel more sensitive. Okay? Just to do a brief recap, because so we didn't work class last week, and just before I forget, we don't have class next week, because I'm sorry. So, we'll quite leave a class instead of the end workshop. But if you don't know the updates, there is a Rosetta chat. It's all legible. Since I think Google launch in there. And no one wrote the episode of the document. And if you want to be on that chat, so you will know what's happening. If there's a day that's on, let's just leave it off. That's all. Just ask us this book. If you need their number, put it in the class, and we'll get to you so you can get on the chat. And you can share the chat with other people. And you get more people's time. So, I think that's all the tasks we need to do. Okay, so just a brief review of what we talked about last week. We're getting an introduction to Tanya, which really means an introduction to who this. Why is this relevant to this role? Why was it necessary? Why are we needed? Why are we moving this class? What's the importance of it? So, we saw that a lot of that last week, and we spoke a little bit about what Shandra and Margaret and Switch did this. Final students. The Altareva. It's primary student, the Altareva. And what's the Altareva too? Okay? So, whereas the Baal Shem Tov brought to the world, this is a way that you could serve God, the Altareva brought to us exactly what that is going to be. So, he took the idea and he solidified it. And where were they in the Tanya? Or could we just some brief facts about the Tanya? Very interesting. The Altareva actually goes in depth into how much he didn't want to write that thing. Actually, he wants to just continue discussing a Seder advisor with each of his students, but because he didn't have the time, because Seder didn't expect him coming up, and because he also felt like this was something that needed to be there for posterity, not just for his students, he felt like he had to start writing things down. Now, he never wanted to publish the Tanya. That wasn't something else he needed to do. Until Amy's story, two of us will sit in, we're at a Leipzig fair, and they see that someone's having a contracing, which are like chapters or like small epistles of the Tanya. And they're still sitting, and they start, you know, thumbing through the pages. This is their Rebbe, their, you know, this is what their old Rebbe talks about. And you see there's a bunch of mistakes in these contracing that are being distributed amongst all the citizens. And they run to the stand, you know, the stall, where this man is selling these cookies, send him and say, but what's going on over here? And LeBron gleefully explains that he is a part of some sort of group that changed certain verbiage and certain wording of what the author was said in order to make the author look better. So now we have copyists, people who are teaching what the author is actually writing, and they're purposely changing the ethnic Hasidus or the Altareva specifically, Bukwak. So what happens by default, well, the end of the story was that there were systematic copies that this man had made as a preacher. They bought the 450 left, but 150 had already been distributed to people at the fair. And so these two Hasidus bring it back. Yeah, Altareva showing them these 450 copies that they bought, to make sure they didn't be the other guy then. But they also realized that the Tanya had to be published. And the reason why publishing is an important thing is because of that. It's a publishing house and it sets if there's a certain, if a tape sets. So you can't change around print. This is the original. So it was clear that the Tanya felt like he has to do this. But he only concluded that he would do it if he got approval from servants of the Yim, from some of his peers, who were also disciples of the Mahjong Zwinchel. Remember, again, it's those leaders. Those are called the Afro regions. And there's two that are written down that we know of, that the CD people of the Tanya you can see the layers of activation by Rosicrucian directly. There's a third one that's a very interesting story. I think that inside the philosophy gave this consent that the tiny should be printed, but Gratiano was very careful not to print unless he got the permission and these custody for the city. A few different just interesting stories are told about Britannia and the process of writing Britannia. So there are many different stories that are attributed to the author. Britannia is the only one that he himself wrote. Okay? So other speeches, like other stories, like Rukuti, Tehran, there are even the Shulchan Aruch Harav. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, he did write himself, but it was printed after the passage. What's interesting and unique about Tanya was that he wrote up himself and it was printed during his lifetime with his permission. As opposed to, let's say, Dizern or Tyre or someone else was writing down his words. He approved of that. He went over that afterwards and made sure that he edited that. But it's not like she labored over that. And the Tanya, he truly labored over. Just to give context, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, I could be mistaken, but she wrote this, and this is a genius taker, right? That I'm talking about a Shulchan Aruch Harav that the author of the roads for the student. That took him a little bit over or under a year. The time also came 20 years to write it. Right? He's alliterated over every single letter of the time of this famous story. So there's a famous story about the brother coming into the Alice Rabbit's study, and Alice Rabbit's posed with this, you know, this clock pen, and he's not really, he's just thinking, he's lost a box. And Alice Rabbit shares with his brother, I've spent 3 weeks deliberating whether or not to include this spot or not, and it's not taking me probably another 3 weeks to figure out that I should be able to include this spot. The above, according to Hebrew, the Jewish language, even Torah, and I think, of course, it's extra or genius in the Torah. But it's just, it's a special word, right? It's like, well, my kids now say it's a sign word, right? It's one of those words. It's a letter. The Al-Jabbat's word even over that letter. And so it took him 20 years to literally pen everything that he wanted to put down into the Torah. He also told his brother, this is another story, that before he writes down anything, he reviews the entire Zephyr in his head before he continues writing. So he was in a constant state of making sure that it truly was a perfect tool. Great. Let's start with this, which is called the title page. She's sitting in front of you. What's interesting is the Torah is broken down into a daily learning. So people have, let's say, not filming. So the time when I bring here, people say, do you learn Pitas? You know, have we learned the Pitas yet? One of the things that Pitas is Chumash Shehron Tanya, which is daily learning that Chabad Chassidim do. The daily learning of Tanya is split throughout one entire year, from Yitzhak Estate to Yitzhak Estate. The Tainah grade is included in that learning. The Altar himself wrote the time of the site of the and it's something to explore. There's a lot of precision in what it's included in the Tainah grade, and that's why I think it's important for us to share with the Altar of the Tainah grade to literally study what the title grade is. Okay, so maybe it's some ashes on that's obviously me writing. Okay, it's some ashes you see, and of colors with each ashes, and give you some quotation marks just to make sure that it's a little easier for you to understand the flow linear. You're not putting the whole thing, it's just under the first paragraph. Okay? So the very first page of the Tanya, what is important about this very first page? So interesting to note, not a contemporary knows this. Tanya is actually more of like a nickname of the Sefer. It's really called Sefer Yekutihar. And its first name, which is a very humble name. It basically means a statement that is a collection of different discourses and teachings. Okay, so that's the author I'm saying. I just put this together. I didn't really work on this too much. I'm just putting together something that I think is important for everybody to know. Obviously, there's still intimidation and unique process is designer. But this is part of the algorithm's way of saying that this is me just making the symbol a collection. This is the DJ. A first part is actually considered five parts of the Tanya. Really, it's the first part we're going to be covering, and that's what we just finished over 3 years. We're going to be doing that again. That's 53 chapters long, and that's what we're going to be focusing on. The next part is Shari Vadahuna, which is actually, if you're going to like categorize them, Shari Vadahuna is what is God, right? Sefer Shalvanian, the Tanya, Rukuti Amare, is how to serve God. What is that? How to serve God. So really, originally, the Alphabet wanted Shari Vadahuna to be the first Sefer, and then afterwards to do the Avaiga Sefer, like first who is God, and then hey, I'm the serpent. But then realized that we really need to know what to do before we even go into the aspect of who is God. Like, let's just realize who we are first. And let's see, that's what the aspiration of the very first chapter finally is. Who am I? What does it do? And is it first aspiration? So really, that's how I switched it. And this is the title of Grisha. And it's Rebbe Shane, it's also called a subtitle, Sefer Shah Media. The book for intermediaries. Okay, or as Chaim Miller, what is the book on Tanya, calls the book for the in-betweeners. Okay. In the first chapter or two, where they talk a lot about what is a being. Just so you know, according to tradition, what a being is, technically, and we're getting to it a lot more, the being is someone who basically has equal sins and mitzvahs, right? So he's doing pretty good. Like, he serves a short mile, sometimes he makes mistakes, but he's kind of the in-between. He's not a lecha. He's not a tzad. He's kind of the in-between person. So this whole book is going to be all about that person, the secret shall be in him. Interestingly enough, the Alphabet also wrote a different Sefer called Sefer Shel Tzaddikim, not for us, for Tzaddikim. And we all have it today. The Shmuel Zeidah, when he heard that the Alphabet had written this Sefer Shel Tzaddikim, he condemned it. He said that's not something that should have been revealed into this world. It's not going to end up living on. He said it's going to be burned up. And fascinating, coins the day that the Shmuel Zeidah passed away, they took iron in the Alphabet's house, and the chests that the manuscript of the Sefer Shel Tzaddikim was stored in the chest was burned and was lost. So the Sefer Shel Tzaddikim is not something that we had in this world. Fascinating story that the Alphabet asked to sell. Do you remember anything? Did you extract anything from Sefer Shel Tzaddikim? And his son was like, what do you mean? It said on the cover, this is only for Tzaddikim. You know, God, like, beware if you not do this. If you learn this, you're endangering your life. And the Alphabet said, you should have come in Zerzit. You should have gone in Zerzit. I should open it up and learn it. But that's the story about Sefer Shel Tzaddikim. This was a story, a Sefer written for us, for every single yet. Because the Alphabet deeply believed that every yet would be able to implement the Avraita as the steps that he brings here to Sir Toshan. Okay? So this is for us, written for the lady. He didn't bring this for his grains of bacon, which he did as well, and they found relevance to it as well. But it's important, in his introduction, he says, if you learn this, you know, to the teacher, when you learn this, the perspective that I'm going to take something from here and implement it, then that's all I wanted from you. Know that I'm not asking for perfection, I'm asking for a step toward Hashem. Okay? So we're up to here. Move this. It's just this little part of Ashley Harvey. Move the puts, which again means a gathering, a compilation. Make peace sparring. This is a gathering, a compilation, a tippet sparring. Which sparring is talking about? He's sitting with Beth. He is gathering all the different things that he's putting in the Sefer from the Maharal. I guess you're particularly from the Rambam, the Rambam Bukhin. Okay, that's another Sefer. And from the Shlom. These are like the sperm that I'm known that he's drawing from. really, there's so many other stars as of speed, and next book was going to be from Amish, Gamora, and of course, from Marizo. And then it's just Unique Peacemaker, and from different authors, who are these authors, from the Balshemja, from the manga, his teacher, from Munahan's book, The Tefts. These are the people he considered his teachers. So he's very humble to say, I'm gathering just from, you know, my teachers, and it's from the sermon that I've learned since, and I'm giving it over to you. Kind of like how I'm saying, how I just going fellow and I'm preaching all of this is not the author I'm trying to present this time. Meanwhile, it's so much more. Kudu Sheikh Elia, Nishmasas Eden, these holy Nishamas that are in Alamhavra, we use our pasuk in order to help us understand the foundation of this pasuk. Which pasuk? Pasuk is from here, from the bar. Okay, so you see how I know little quotation marks? Pitfar de la farda de ma'ay ve pipa uguba alazes. Very good. Very famous pasuk from Bari. This whole Savior, okay, he's telling us very clearly. The entire Savior, all 53 chapters of this book, are coming to explain one pasuk of his head. Okay? Just this one pasuk. And this one pasuk is so hard for us to understand that we're going to now take on years to explain it to all of us today. What is this pasuk? Okay? Let's go into the bar and let's look at, I didn't want to just look at the one pasuk. I want to just read it to the English of like, what was mentioned when you're talking about in prior over here? So that we would understand a little bit about the entire Savior is based on. So when the Bible, let's just like the book of Deuteronomy, what is that, that whole book, the whole Savior, is mentioned when speaking to an Israel. A lot of it is textual, a lot of it is rebuke, warnings, a lot of it is very beautiful, and speech tied to urge them, they're going to come to the last, they're going to come to Israel. Don't forget. Don't forget about Hashem, don't forget about Terah, don't pass it on, fall to the to the goings and fantasies of Abu Ghazara and the other people of the world. Stay true to what you heard about from Terah. So, I mean, that's a very brief synopsis, but obviously very beautiful and maybe prejudice of Moshe Rabbeinu speaking from the heart to the main stuff. Part of it is these, so I'm going to read to you quickly in English. A part of the Mishnah being of the just not speaking so. He says, Lord Shemayim, it's not in heaven that you should say, who will want to have it for us and fetch it for us and tell it to us so we can fulfill it? Nor is it one will see that you should say, who wants the other side of the sea for us and fetch it and tell it to us so that we can fulfill it? Rapper, right? What's he saying? Whatever this thing it is, it's not far from you. It's not from us. It's not across the sea. It's not on top of the mountain. It's right here. Rather, this thing, we're going to get to this thing, is very, focus on very close to you. It is in your lach, it's in your heart, so you can feel it. Okay? Keep current in the lach, I my heart. This thing is very, very close to you. Ma'ait. If you turn your mouth, it will go above her in your heart. Last, I say to fulfill it, to do it. Okay? And they said, cold, I have set for you today, advice, sleep, I am another, Antai Bara. Beautiful. What is this thing? I gave you one specified today. What is this thing? There's a lot of discussion around this thing. And in the memory, Rabban says he believes this to Shiva. And there are other opinions as well. But the Al-Jarabah's opinion that he goes by, that this whole secret is going to be based on, is that this thing that we're talking about is living a Torah lifestyle. Living in accordance with what Hashem wants the Christ. Right? Living with the Torah. Performing the ceremonies. Specifically, okay, this thing, you could do it, b'ficha u'bubavcha la'seise. Right? So you're able to do it, not just, you know, superficially, but externally, where technically everything looks so sneeze and everything looks like spinning and you're keeping all the halachas. He says specifically that you should be able to do it with your parts, okay? So the feelings, with your emotions. Another way of looking at that is like your internal experience, so your thoughts. the love like of speech. I'm sorry. And it's Aziza, sorry, is it your map, right? So your speech. Above all with your heart, which means your inner experience, your thoughts, your emotions, what people can't see. And as long as I say, is with your actions. Okay? Now, Jim is going to go into this a lot more when we actually explore the why the boy with the degree. Correct. But this is just a hint. A brief introduction to what we're going to be talking. We're going to be seeing how this thing, serving a shadow with your thoughts, speech, and action, is something that is very near to you, and very easy and accessible to you. It's not on mountains. It's not across the prairies. Not across the ocean. You don't need anybody else to do it for you. You don't need anyone else to retrieve it for you. It's something that you can do. Okay? Fascinating, right? Because the Gemara brings up this pasuk and says, really? Is it so easy? Is serving Hashem such a small matter? Is it really? It seems like it's an easy thing, right? My share they knew. It's someone who went up the mountain and followed Hashem across the desert and always speak truth to whatever Hashem said. Maybe for you, my share they know it's easy, but is it easy for all of us? How is this even possible? Right? And specifically, if you go into the Maharsha of Almas Vasav, when we talk specifically about the love spot, your inner experience, your heart, serving Hashem with your heart, when we talk about what that actually means, right? And we're saying we want to live this service to Hashem, not just perform this service to Hashem. What does that actually mean? So the love spot is getting your emotions involved. Getting you, your personality, your desires, your everything that fights against godliness, involves engaging your love and your fear towards Hashem. So the answer I'm saying here, what we're going to be discussing in this Tanya is how can Rikshir James say that it's easy for a yid to serve Hashem with an inner experience, with Avos Hashem and with Yiras Hashem. And where that will be a day-to-day experience for them. Not just when they're inspired, or like a day that their life was saved because of a miracle, or the day that a child was born, where they witnessed the warning of one. But on a day-to-day experience, their eternal experience is one of love and fear towards the Yivishtra, and that's how you serve it. That's what you're at by the books. Very troubling to the outward of it. And it's troubling to all of us. And so he gets very used to discussing Abaida with his Hasidic. So he says, there's your Yitzhak, right? Imagine you have friends and you have a relationship with this friend, right? Which means that you go out to coffee or you know that your friends would love to chat with you once a day. And you do so joyfully. You would love to connect with the friends. And sometimes your friend wants something that you don't necessarily want. Well, make sure to do that because you're having to make it happen for her. She's your friend. You love her. And the opposite is true as well. If there's something specific that you know is untriggering for her, but you know that she went talking, she doesn't want to get nausea, and she's sipping bad, you're not going to get her much. You're in a network body, right? Because you want to always be searching for connection with this friend, not the opposite. Right, so just take that pretty relatable experience and bring that to Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Avos Hashem is wanting, desperately, yearning to connect with God. And Yiras Hashem is having a feeling of, I don't want to feel disconnected. I want to do everything that I can to not experience disconnect. I'm a lot of rift. I just want to feel closeness with you. So whatever I can do to make sure we feel closeness is what I'm going to do. And if I know that there's something specific that may make me feel a riff or disconnect, I'm not going to engage with those things, which is literally a Torah lifestyle. I engage with Mitzvahs and Torah because I know that that's what Hashem wants. That's how it leads them, and that's how I connect with him. And the opposite, things that he doesn't want, I try to take distance from because I don't want to speak to my friends. I make sure to maintain that energy with them. how are we saying that this is something that's easy and accessible? Is it easy and accessible to see the shine as your bestie? No, right? This is not something that's the worldliness, right? It's like tangible materialism, lots of factors coming into our extreme lives. We don't feel that closeness with the industry for that fear of being distant from it. It feels very remote for us. So how could it be that Major thing that's telling Brene's yoga for the needs that to go into and to show to live their real lives, right? To leave the cocoon of the desert, which was just the lifestyle of miracles. They're leaving all that. They're entering this real world of Antisoho, where they've ever worked in the land. We could see right away people into Nebu how harsh the impact is in landing in Antisoho, even with all the miracles that happened through entering the land. How does Meishu even know that this is a difficulty? Say to them that this is easy and accessible. This is very close to you, this matter. Okay? This is what the entire Sacred Shabbat is going to be about. Let's make a visit easy, accessible, tangible, as pragmatic for the labor. For me and you, who live in this world, have only seen worldliness and otherness. You don't see God. Right? The Elzrada, Mishra Bimu, Ezrava. The Elzrada's Hushin was allowing us.
Oh, that is so great. Thank you. Mishra Bimu and the Elzrava were people, obviously, who looked at the world and saw God. That was their real lived experience. But as true leaders, and as leaders who can relate to the populace, they understood that this has to be something that's accessible to people who are not just like me, who are not tzaddikim, who don't see God when they look at the world. So again, and I said it 100 times, Sefer Shalbeninim is written for us to see, for us to apply. And as a gift, the Alter Rebbe gave that to us so that we could truly understand. Okay, let's just finish off this paragraph. We're going to get into that way more, but let's just finish. Lever heitev, to understand well, eich hu karev ma'id, how? How is this something that's close to us? Makes no sense. How? B'derech arucha katzara, b'ezes Hashem yisparach. I'm going to explain this, he's saying, in a long, short way and a short, long way. What is that? It's a reference. So that's why it's important to see it inside and also to learn this from our teachers. This is a reference to what? A story in the Gemara, a story about Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyain. What's the story? So it's an interesting Gemara. There's actually a lot of stuff on that page that are really interesting. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyain says, there are three people who bested me once. There was a young man, a young woman, and a boy. And he gives the three different stories. The story we're referencing here is the story about a boy who one time, when I say bested, it means like he stumped me. Usually I'm smarter than everybody else, basically. But this one time, this boy was smarter than me. What happened? He was traveling and he comes to a road diverged in the wood. And he sees this boy sitting at the crossroads. And he asks the boy, how do I get to the city? I want to get to the city. Which path is going to take me to the city? So the boy gestures to both roads and he says, this is the long, short road and this is the short, long road. So Rabbi Chanina says, okay, so short, long road sounds like shorter. So I'm going to go with the short, long road, okay? He goes on that path and he comes right up to the city gates. He's like, he could see them. They're right there. But the gates are like right between him and the gates are orchards and gardens. Some people say, I don't know why, because when I looked in the Gemara, it didn't say this, but I've heard the story where it's like there's thistles and brambles and it's very difficult. It's muddy. It's hard to get by. The way I saw it in the Gemara was he just didn't know the way through the garden and it looked like a very confusing path. So even though it was technically shorter, like he could see the gates, but if you don't know the way through these orchards and gardens, then that's not going to help you very much. So he comes back to the boy and he says, you said this was the short way. He said, I said, it's the short long way. You can go the long short way. What's the long short way? It was a much more circuitous route, but it was a clear road. Okay. Here the Alter Rebbe is saying, I'm going to be giving you both. The main thrust of the Tanya is to give us the long short way, which means it will take us a very long time to help us understand how to serve Hashem in a way that is easy and accessible to us. And he will give us many different roads through which to get there. He also gives us a short way that's still hard, but it's a little shorter, okay? And I'll just briefly tell them to you and we'll go into it much more in depth. The Alter Rebbe actually doesn't even start talking or referencing back to this pasuk until chapter 17 because he has so much foundation and groundwork to lay before he even gets back to this question. But before we get to chapter 17, which might happen in 6 months, let's just lay it out for a minute. The long short way. Well, first let's do the long short way first. So it's the circuitous route, but it's a clear path. It's easy. The roads are, there's signage. You're able to know exactly how to get where you're supposed to get. That's the long short way. Again, this reference to the story in the Gemara. So the Alter Rebbe said, I'm just obviously taking the entire book and making it smaller, but the Alter Rebbe says, in order to understand how to serve Hashem in a way that's close to you, it's easy, it's accessible to you, contemplation. The more you think about God, the more that you allow him to be something real in your mind and takes up space in your fantasies, in your thoughts, in how you wake up in the morning, the more that will change who you are as a person, frame your perspective, and shape your reality and change the way that you serve him, the way that you live your life. So the long, short way would be through contemplation, something that the Alter Rebbe talks about, which is hisbeinanus, which is not meditation, it's called contemplation. And it's an intellectual pursuit, and it takes a very long time because it takes what to think about. What's the content? So first getting the content and then being able to concentrate on it for long enough that you actually can hold an idea in your mind. And then for that idea to kind of like, imagine like water building in a tissue to kind of seep through and fall into you and impact you and change you finally as a person. That would be the long, short way. And that is the way that the Alter Rebbe encourages everybody to pursue. Now, it doesn't have to be only do long, short or short, long. You could do both. The Alter Rebbe also describes the short, long way, which is different. Whereas the meditative or contemplative way of serving Hashem would be creating a new experience for myself by thinking and then it impacting me. The short, long way is actually uncovering a part of yourself that you never knew you had. And the Alter Rebbe is going to explain later on that all of us have an innate love and fear inside of ourselves that is a gift from the Avos that we have inside of ourselves because we have an neshama. So therefore, we have this love and fear that's already there. It's just covered over and we just need to uncover it. So it's short, long, because it's there. I see it. I see the road. I see the, not just the road. I see the gates. I see the way through which I can serve Hashem. It's right there. There's just something's blocking me. And if I unblock, then I'll be able to serve Hashem. You're not creating something new. You're uncovering something that's already there. So weird, but I'm just going to share this really quickly. So I had this very strange dream. Still trying to realize why I had this dream. But in this dream, I was speaking at a Verbrengen, and you were there at the Verbrengen. I know. And I was trying to explain a concept in Parshas Truma. And this connects, I promise you. And I'm trying to explain how sometimes you're looking at a challenge and you just can't understand how to overcome this challenge. And then sometimes Hashem will send you something, and this little thing that Hashem sends you suddenly totally eradicates the challenge. Like it's not even a question any longer, right? So I'm trying to explain this concept, and I give this example. Imagine you're holding a baby, right? And you're holding somebody else's baby, and you're keeping this baby safe. If you're holding the baby, it means like you're holding it, and it's yours right now to make sure that it stays safe, doesn't chas v'shalom anything happen to it. And someone starts just pulling the baby out of your hands. That's terrifying. That's very scary. You're supposed to be the one keeping the baby safe, right? And in the moment of challenge, you don't know what to do. I don't want to pull. I don't want, what should we do? This is so scary. But then when you look up and you see that it's the mom who's just trying to take the baby out of your hands, then the whole challenge is eradicated. It's no longer there. It was never a problem to begin with, right? The challenge or the fear or the intensity that you had around it is unfounded, because the whole time it was just the mommy trying to say like, hey, it's okay, I got this now. Like, thank you for holding my baby, and now I'm taking my baby, right? So in the same way, the short, long way of discovering that you have an innate love and fear of God inside of you that you just didn't know about is almost like a gift the Alter Rebbe lays at our feet and says, I know the long, short way is overwhelming, and it's going to take a lifetime to actually fully get there. Let me give this to you instead. And when he gives it to us, it's like this gift of, oh, this challenge was never even there because I always had it inside me. I always had this ability to tap into something I just never knew. So what he does is he just uncovers what we already have, and then the challenge is, it's no longer there. It just disappears, right? So it's whatever. It's a concept of introducing a third element that takes away element number one and element number two that looked like challenging factors. So let me get to the approbations. Did we finish over here? Yes. With this all in mind, right? And with the understanding that this is a tremendous feat that the Alter Rebbe is embarking on, he also made sure to weigh in with two different men. One man, you've heard of them, Rav Zusha of Anapoli, famous Rav Zusha, who was a colleague of the Alter Rebbe. Interesting, I didn't know this, and I always love like learning something new. So Rav Zusha wasn't actually known to be, of course he was scholarly, he was a Talmud Chacham, but like not as scholarly as, let's say, the Alter Rebbe, right? He was known for how incredibly pious he was. Famous story about Rav Zusha was someone came to the Magid and asked the Magid, how does it say in the Gemara that you should bless Hashem for the bad just as you bless Hashem for the good? And the Magid said, oh, I'm not going to answer that question. Go talk to Rav Zusha about it. So this man travels to Rav Zusha to find out the answer to this story, this big question that he has. He walks into Rav Zusha's home. Rav Zusha lived in abject poverty, like literally had like crates for beds and crate for the kitchen table and for the chairs, and children were starving. And the man says, I came sent by the Magid to ask you this question. How are you supposed to bless Hashem for the bad just as you were supposed to bless Hashem for the good? And Rav Zusha said, I have no idea why he sent you. I've never experienced bad in my life. Right? So we're talking about someone who lived on an entirely different sphere of piety. Incredible, incredible neshama. And so the Alter Rebbe wanted Rav Zusha to approve of the Tanya. So he sent an original manuscript to Rav Zusha, and Rav Zusha wrote a letter, you'll see that in most Sfarim where there's just like a letter of approval. Rav Zusha wrote a letter of approval for the Tanya. I'm just remembering this other story. Fascinating other story about Rav Zusha, just to highlight how incredible he was. So the Alter Rebbe used to learn with Rav Avram the Malach, who was the Magid's son, okay? Rav Avram the Malach was an incredible tzaddik and Talmud Chacham, and they were chavrusas, okay? So one time, Rav Avram and the Alter Rebbe were discussing something in the Rambam. They couldn't figure out what the Rambam was saying, and they were really deliberating over it. And Rav Zusha hears what's going on. Rav Zusha goes into the next room, and then he comes back and he has a list of sources to help you better understand what the Rambam was saying. And the Alter Rebbe and Rav Avram were a little confused, like, you're a great Talmud Chacham, but like, where did this just come from? Like, you suddenly have a list of sources to answer our question of, you know, where we should research a little further to understand our question. And Rav Zusha said, you know, I just felt like the Rambam wasn't feeling comfortable with how much you were questioning it. So I just stepped out, and here's the list of sources that the Rambam wants you to learn. Okay. So we're talking about someone who was tapped into another sphere of Kedusha. And that was Rav Zusha. Rav Zusha said in his approbation, we're not going to read it inside. It's a very beautiful letter of recommendation, obviously. But he said, this sefer is going to be the sefer that will greet Mashiach. This is going to be the way through which people will be, like we said last class, prepare themselves to greet Mashiach. The other person that the Alter Rebbe sent his original manuscript to was Rav Yehuda Leib HaKain. And he says in his approbation that it's a beautiful language, actually. He says that this is a salve, like a medicine for all spiritual maladies. So anyone in any which way who feels spiritually disconnected from God, this is the answer for you. You will find answers here to any spiritual malady that you are experiencing. And I don't know about you, but I'm a big believer in a spiritual malady being connected to a physical malady. Anything that's hindering you in life, look into the Tanya, try to find an answer there. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Leib HaKohen says about this Tanya. And then just an interesting story to conclude. There was a story about a third approbation that was not written, but the Alter Rebbe one time sent a chassid to a random city. And he said, when you go to the city, maybe the chassid was already traveling there. He says, if you go to the city, are you going to go to the movie theater? And the chassid was like, obviously he wasn't planning on going to the movie theater. And he said, okay, sure. Of course I'm going to the movie theater. He said, good. When you go there, you'll meet a man. His name is Carl. He's like the caretaker of the movie theater. I want you to give them this package. So the man's traveling there already. He travels there. He goes to this movie theater. He sits in on the movie. He falls asleep. He sleeps through the whole thing. And everybody leaves. He's still sleeping. And after a while, he wakes up because there's a man, you know, sweeping, coming through, sweeping up, I don't know, the popcorn or whatever it is, cleaning up the movie theater. And the chassid wakes up and he says, are you Carl? He says, yes, I am. He says, okay, I have something for you from the Alter Rebbe. And the man says, you know Rav Shneur Zalman of Liati? He says, yes, I'm one of his chassidim. He says, that's incredible. He takes the package and he says, I'll meet you again tomorrow. And basically the Alter Rebbe wanted the manuscript back. He spends the nights with the package, obviously reading through, learning through the entire Tanya. And then Carl gives it back to this chassid and the chassid travels back to the Alter Rebbe with the words from Carl that he approves. And the understanding of that story is that this Carl was one of the 36 tzaddikim, one of the hidden tzaddikim. And he was also somebody that the Alter Rebbe wanted to look at the Tanya before he actually published. So I always thought the story of Carl was just an interesting story. And just interesting seeing a chassid in a movie theater. Okay, so that is the beginning of the Tanya. We know clearly from the Alter Rebbe that he is telling us, this is for you. It's for you and you and you to learn. Sit down, learn it with a teacher, learn it again and learn it again, because there's always something to learn from. In fact, one time the chassidim walked in on the Alter Rebbe looking at his own manuscript and learning the Tanya. And when they questioned him, they said, what do you mean? There's so much here for me to learn. Because he deeply believed that this was from his, you know, Sfarim and Seferim, but it was really Ruach HaKodesh that he wrote down and recorded. And so therefore, there's always more depth and more layer to unfold and to discover. So that's why we're embarking again on this journey. And I want you to just walk away from this class thinking there's a path forward. Right? So many times I'll speak to a woman and there's a feeling of helplessness, hopelessness. Definitely that is an experience, especially nowadays when there's so much challenge in the world, in our real everyday lives, in the world at large. And it's so easy to feel like, how are we going to do this? How are we moving forward? The Alter Rebbe's message is one of hope. There is a path forward. Here is the path. I'm giving it to you very clearly. I want it to be something that you think, I could just hold this and I'll know that there's something to lean on. And that in and of itself is supposed to be something that just gives us that ability to just breathe, take a deep breath. We know that we want to have this connection with Hashem. I don't know what that is. It feels very remote to me. I don't feel that connection right now, but I know that there's a path forward. And that reassurance is something that already could start feeling like that's going to lift me up. So when I speak to a woman and she finishes off, you know, our first conversation, she's like, I don't really know what we're going to do, but I feel hopeful. That's literally a line almost every woman says. That's incredible, right? Because what that does is it opened a door. It opened a door for something more, something other. Whereas before it was closed and it was shut and there was despair and there was helplessness, chas v'shalom, victimhood. Now we have a path forward. I keep on saying this. This is Chassidus. It's not the Tanya. But now we have a path forward. And that should give you hope, and that should create an opening. And with that, even just with that feeling, how am I taking that to my day to day? Like, I know that there's a path forward. I don't know exactly what that means. What does it mean to serve Hashem with Ahava Yira? What does that mean that there's a short, long way and a long, short way? What does it mean that somewhere inside me, I have a way of serving Hashem, like a deeply connecting way of Hashem? What does it mean to be best friends with Hashem, to really feel like I have a connection with Him, where I will do anything to not sever that connection and do everything I can to bolster that connection? I'm not sure yet, but I know that there is a path. So keep that in mind, and hopefully that will uplift our week. And I know we're not going to have class this coming up week, probably not till after Pesach, because everyone's going to be so busy with Pesach. But you could let me know if in 2 weeks from now everyone's going to be up for it. I will if everyone is. If not, we'll skip till and we'll wait till after Pesach, and we will start Sfira with a path forward. Have a beautiful day.